If you would, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. We'll pray that those flowers don't fall. I know that was an odd thing to do at the beginning, but that will make sense later as we get into our passage of Scripture here. Matthew chapter 5. Let's read this morning verses 13 through 16. My goal this morning is to mobilize us as a church to be salt and light. So that's what we want to do this afternoon. I know some classes are planning to get together even next Saturday to do some things to help and things like that. But God has brought a mission field to our front door, and it would be foolish for us to sit in here with air-conditioned seats and padded seats and to ignore the need around us. So that's my goal this morning. I will go ahead and let the cat out of the bag as we look this morning at what it means to be salt and light. So I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and then I'm going to say a word of prayer, and I encourage you to join me. We have the habit here of kneeling before God. I know that's strange to some who are our guests, but it is a way that we show that we are humbling ourselves before an almighty sovereign God who loves us. So if you're able, I encourage you to do that. If not, you pray in a way that you wish. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And we want to humble our hearts this morning. We as a culture tend to thrive on the American dream and being independent, being self-sufficient. And in a lot of ways, we were reminded last week that maybe we're not as independent as we think we are. Maybe we still need you for daily bread. Maybe, God, we still need you to be our provider, our caretaker, our shepherd. So, Lord, I pray that in these upcoming moments that you would walk us through your word, challenge us, motivate us, encourage us, remind us of what it means to be salt and light. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it was last Sunday. Allison, she's the weather junkie at my house. I really do not pay attention to it. I'm the one that walks out in shorts and a t-shirt in the flooding rain, and it always catches me by surprise. Or I wear the tank top and athletic shorts to Walmart, and it cold front comes through. I'm just kind of unaware of that. So Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, I think it was, Allison said, "Hey, there's some hurricane or something. They say there's going to be a hurricane in the Gulf." Well, I turned it on, and the thing's down by Honduras, and it's barely like a tropical wave or something like that. There's, you know, not much to it. And I automatically go to the Weather Channel exaggeration routine in my mind. I don't know if y'all do that, but that's what I do. You know, when Florence was coming through just a couple of weeks ago, it was almost comical to me. Not the flooding and things like that, because we know that those people are still hurting up there. That was serious. But when the winds were coming through, they would always try, it seems like they try to make it worse than what it actually is, you know. I'm going to find the deepest ditch I can stand in to give my flooding report instead of showing what it really is, or, you know, any gentle breeze that blows in my face, I'm going to do one of these numbers. And you know, even though there are people walking around behind me that are perfectly fine. So that's kind of where my brain went on Sunday or Monday, whatever it was. Allison told me there's something going on. They say it's coming this way. So I just, Weather Channel, you know, Jim Cottori will never, he's not even going to show up for this one, you know, kind of thing. That's just where I was. So as things progressed on, I think it was Monday, I began to pay a little more attention. They just weren't letting this go, and they were talking about, oh, all the models are unified, and that's never the case. So they're all saying, you know, Panama City area, yada, yada, yada. Began to pay a little more attention. When Ms. Gale moved here 7 or 8 years ago, whatever it was, she had two generators. Now, these generators have not been touched other than let's take them off the moving truck and throw them in Michael's garage, and there they have sat, okay? So Monday rolls around, and they're saying, oh, yeah, Category 2 or 3, yada, yada, it's coming this way for sure. I got to thinking to myself, well, just in case, I better just see if I can get one of these generators to fire up, which is comical because I know nothing about small engine repair, but I know Brother Danny, all right? So Brother Danny knows, I think, a lot about everything. He would tell you a little bit about everything. But anyway, I said, hey, Brother Danny, I'm going to pull the spark plugs out of these things. What do I need to do? So he came over to my house Monday or Tuesday and got spark plugs, and my big generator fired right up. It was like a divine miracle almost. So it fired up. The little one did not work. It kept pouring gas out. I didn't know what to do, so I called Brother Danny again. Hey, I turned the gas on. It's pouring out. You know, he knew exactly what it was, so we got it fixed. We went to the grocery store, bought some Cheez-Its and things like that. Didn't have any potty meat. All that was gone. I was disappointed, honestly, in that. But began to make my preparations, right? Tuesday rolls around. We can see that this thing's definitely getting stronger. They're saying maybe category three or four. Wednesday or Tuesday afternoon, the staff meets and decides, well, maybe we better definitely cancel church Wednesday night if this thing's getting close. The schools were closed, so we said, you know what, maybe better off if we just close the office on Wednesday. So we made that decision Tuesday afternoon. Wednesday, I just got up and waited. And we were watching the Weather Channel as things were coming in. Jim Cottori, or whatever, you know, got his bomb helmet put on. You know, and I knew things were getting serious then. And I knew that we were going to lose power eventually. And, you know, I just sat and waited. And you all have a similar story. You probably watched the Weather Channel. Somehow, we lost cable, but still had power, which was, wasn't really thinking that. But so we really didn't know what was going on about lunchtime. And then it's just things progressively in this area just started to get worse and worse and worse. So when the TV's out, what do? You turn on Facebook World. So I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see some of your posts. All right. It's lunchtime, 11, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, lost power, power's out, you know, yada, yada, power's out. And I'm thinking, it's up 2:30, 3 o'clock at this point in time. We haven't lost power on 2946 Trailway. I'm like, we are going to come through this thing with flying colors. I mean, everybody's lost power but us. You know, I'm living right. You know, I'm living right. So, sure enough, about 3:40, lights flicker and poof. Now you see why I moved the flowers. You know my reputation with fire. So. So my wife is a candle savant connoisseur. If you're married, you know that you don't have one candle or one flavor of candle, but you have seasonal candles. You have candles for summer. You have candles for fall. This one actually happens to be some kind of pecan waffle. The lights went out, and it was still daylight in my house, so we sat for a while, but as the winds got worse and it started to get darker, out came the candles. The odd thing about light is if you have it, you kind of take it for granted. I don't know about you, but, you know, it was a big adjustment in my home. I really didn't mind the electricity being out that much, but it was a big adjustment in my home when you would get up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom, or one of my generators was like a blessing and a curse, so I had to work on it, okay, a couple of times in the dark. So I'd leave my living room and hop out in the garage and walk down my steps, and then I would realize, I can't see a thing in here, okay? It's completely dark, all right? You've got a hurricane story, you lost your power. We all know the awkwardness and the convenience of light that electricity is, okay? I know we still have some folks that are without power now, okay? Most of Dothan has got electricity. They have light now. I know a lot of the Garden District does not, and some of our folks that live in Rehoboth and out that way still don't have power. But we kind of take this light deal for granted. When we enter our text today, Jesus is reminding us of the importance of light. He's reminding us that it does something great in our culture, and he uses this metaphor, this picture of light, to remind us that as believers, we should be just like light. If we open up the passage in verse 13, he begins with a different metaphor. He uses this metaphor of salt. Just like light now, we take salt for granted. You've got a big container with a lady and an umbrella in your pantry, and you've got a pound of salt, okay? I don't know what rain and umbrella has to do with salt, but you have that in your home. We take salt for granted. Salt was something that was paramount in Jesus' day. It was an absolute necessity. So was light. It's an absolute necessity. Wars were fought over salt in Jesus' day, all right? It was that important. So Jesus takes two very, very important things of his day, two things that have made huge impacts on his society. And he says, you should be like these two things. In other words, the main point that Jesus is telling us today is that as believers, as followers of Christ, we should determine in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls that we will have a huge eternal impact on the people that we come in contact with. So that's why we're doing what we're going to do later today, is I want us as a church to have an impact on people's lives. I want us to be Jesus' hands. I want us to be Jesus' feet. And when we're done, I want people to say, man, this is a tough time, but God loves me. This is a tough time, but God is taking care of me. This is a tough time, but God is protecting and providing for me. And he's doing it through his people. I want us to be that kind of church. I want us to be the kind of church that has an impact, an eternal impact on the lives of others. So he says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, we use salt for seasoning, mainly on green beans. You can't have a green bean without at least a cup of salt in there. So we use salt for seasoning. Back then, that was a very secondary purpose for salt. Salt was really used back then for preserving things. So as believers, just like salt preserves meat, we're supposed to be preserving culture. All right. I'm too young for this. Some of you may remember this. When you butchered your hog, you would smoke it or cover it in salt. All right. And that salt was not meant for flavoring. It was meant so that this meat will last. All right. It was a preserving agent. All right, so some of you may remember that. We carry a part of that over in our culture now. You go to the grocery store now, you can still buy salted ham. We call it country ham. All right, I guess because we know salt tastes good here. I'm not sure why it's country ham. They did it all over. But your country ham, when you go to the grocery store, you know it's salty. And we've learned to appreciate the taste, so we use salt for flavoring now. But back then, it was mainly used for preserving things. So Jesus says, as believers, I want you to be preserving culture. And we live in a culture that is increasingly dark. We live in a culture that seems to be growing darker each and every day. And I've heard stories in Panama City of during this tragedy, instead of people coming together, we see some looting and things like that. All right. That's the darkness of our culture. So this tragedy has brought out darkness, but it's important for us to bring light in the midst of this tragedy. To not sit here and worship this morning and go home and not do anything while people are seeking to make this tragedy about darkness. We as a church have the opportunity to say, no, we're preserving culture. All right? We're going to show you that love matters. We're going to show you that grace matters. We're going to show you that God cares about you. So we're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be preserving culture. Then he flips his metaphor here and he talks about light. I think we still understand the importance of light, especially when it goes away. All right? I thankfully have power back at my house now. So now I'm all back to taking light for granted again. But when it's gone, it's awkward how much you miss that. All right. How many of you, when the electricity was off at your house, would walk into the room and flip the switch? Okay. For some reason, the laundry room, I did it every time. I'd walk into the laundry room, flip the switch, and I'd call myself an idiot and go grab the candle from the living room. All right. But we tend to take it for granted. In Jesus' day, light was important. In our day, we still see the value of light. The problem is that sometimes we grow accustomed to living in darkness. I know I found that to be true in my house. The first night that power was out at my house, we tried to keep candles on and battery lanterns on. And by night two, it was just completely dark. I turned into a pro. I could move around my house anywhere I needed to go. Without running into things and just complete darkness. We grow accustomed to living in the dark. Our world grows accustomed to living in the dark. And Jesus says, as the church, we don't want to get comfortable living in a dark world. I want you guys to be light. He says, you are the light of the world. And he gives an illustration about how light is important. He says, a city set on a hill cannot, not should not, but cannot be hidden. What's he saying there? Before Google Maps, okay, and if you want to go back a little further than that, before Rand McNally, all right, when I was a kid, we had a map, a book with every state. Do you remember traveling this way? It had to be a danger to traveling because you couldn't open it without covering the whole windshield, but we had this huge book, all right. My parents would open it up and say, we're turning here, okay, in about 5 miles, we're turning here, and we got around that way. Now I just tell Siri, hey, take me wherever, and off we go, okay? So before those days, what people would do, or what cities would do, is the people that lived on the outside of the city walls that had windows in the city walls would take their candles and set them outside of the city at nighttime. So that people who were traveling at night would know, hey, this is the direction that I need to go. All right, this is the way that I need to be heading. So as believers, if we are called to be light, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is showing people this is the direction that we need to go. So as believers, we are called to be light. Then he gives another illustration that's almost comical to me, especially with my experience with fire. He says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Okay? Because it's a fire hazard. That's where my brain first goes, okay? It's a fire hazard. I've learned the hard way, all right? But really, his point is if we have a lamp in a house, all right? At nighttime back then, they would not have a lot of lamps going in your house. You would probably keep one lamp running all night. Think of it as a nightlight, if you will. So they would have this lamp going so that if they needed to get up at nighttime, they could kind of see around and things like that. All right. It served a purpose. So for you to take light in your home and cover it up, what Jesus is saying here is that you're defeating the purpose of light in general. Right? I believe that us as a church, if we were to meet here this morning, come back and meet again, come back and meet next Wednesday, come back next Sunday, and not do anything to help our community, we are defeating the purpose of what Jesus is saying to us by saying, you guys go and be light. There's a purpose in it. And it runs a circle, if you will. The circle begins this way. The Bible says that God is light. That God Himself, His character is light. That there is no darkness in Him. That there is truth in God. That there is joy in God. That God is a treasure. He is light. He is holy. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says that this God who is light, He shines light into our hearts so that we see that we need the gospel. So this circle begins with the fact that God's character is light. And from His character, He shines light into our hearts so that we see that we need Him. All right? And once we see that we need God, 1 John tells us that we are to abide in light, to remain in light, to hang around light, that we are to pursue light. So it begins with God's character as light. He does a saving work of shining light into our hearts. From that, as believers, we're told to abide in light. And then in Matthew chapter 5 right here, we're told to display light. So for us to meet this morning and to meet again tonight and ignore the needs around us without being light would be defeating to the purpose of the church. So we're going to do things a little differently this morning and definitely do things a little differently tonight. All right. So this is what I want us as a church body to do. I hope you have a bulletin. All right. We're going to use this. This is going to be the oddest invitation that you've ever heard of. Okay. But like I said this morning, my goal is to mobilize us, okay, so that we can be salt and light, right? So, on your sermon notes, I pray you did not take sermon notes. if you had, steal your neighbor's bulletin, all right? I want you to use this page for a specific purpose as we get ready to close our service this morning. Our plan, now we have some people that are leaving earlier that are going, I think, to Cottonwood. But our plan is as a body to meet here at 2:30 if you can. All right. If you're able, if you can help do some things, meet here at 2:30. I know not everyone can. Okay. But if you're able, if you can, meet here at 2:30. All right. If you have children, I have specific jobs lined up, that children can help participate in, because I think this is an important teaching moment for us as a church to show our children, hey, you can be salt. You can be light. You don't have to be 35 to make a difference in somebody's life. Okay? So I'm going to have jobs for children. Now, if they're in diapers and can't walk and things like that, probably not the best for them. Okay? But if they're in elementary school or something like that, then we'll have some jobs for them to do. Okay? We've got some limbs and things like that that can be cleaned up. So we'll go send some crews over there. They can help carry those things and get those things to the road. So on the top of this page, I need one or two things, all right? If you're able to help, okay, just put help up at the top, okay? That way I know you're volunteering, okay? If you know of someone, if you know of a need, I want you to write it on the other side. Your house may be fine. My house is okay, okay? But you may have a need, okay? You may have a neighbor that has a need. Say, hey, my house is fine, but you know what? My neighbor's got trees all over the driveway. If we could get over there and get that, that'd be great. Okay? So I want you to divide this thing between help and need. All right? And on the help side, the first thing I need is your name and about how many are coming. Okay? So, your name and a number. You know, I know your family, so if you write 4 down there, you've got kids in elementary school, I know where to to put you. Okay? So on the help side, write your name and your number. And then under that, I want you to write anything that you could maybe possibly bring. Okay? Hey, I got a chainsaw. Okay? It definitely runs better than Brother Mike's two broken ones at his house. Okay? So I got a chainsaw. It runs great. Okay? If you're unable to help, but you've got a awesome chainsaw that runs like a top, maybe throw that down there. We may need to borrow that this afternoon. Okay? So on the help side, I want your name and how many and then what you may have. All right? I got a yard trailer. I got a four-wheeler we could use to move some limbs and things like that. Okay? Does that make sense? All right. On the other side, on the need side, I want you to, if you have a need or your neighbor or someone that you know of has a need, I want you to write it down. Okay? This is just giving me a working list so that I can get us organized. Okay? So if you have a need, write it down over here. Okay? Now, I'm not promising that we can meet your needs today. Okay? In my heart, I want to. Okay? But I'm going to kind of prioritize these things. In all honesty. Okay? If you're 30 years old and you got little twigs in your yard, I'm not going to come help you today. Okay? Does that make sense? All right? If you're a widow and you've got some trees that need to be cut, if you are older, you need some help in your yard, something like that, that's who we're targeting. Okay? If you got a family member that says, hey, they got trees down everywhere, that's why we're going to Cottonwood. It's one of our church members' parents. They got trees down everywhere, so we're going to go try and help them. Okay? I'm not saying that we're going to be able to get down to, hey, I got an aunt that lives, or like Brother Danny, he's got a brother in Panama City. Us meeting at 2:30, there's no way we can get down to Panama City and do anything besides stare. Okay? So we're going to try to keep things local. We're going to start with our church and then go from there. Okay? Now, I told you this would be the oddest invitation. All right? So, are my directions clear as mud? Okay? What we're able to accomplish today depends on your willingness to be here this afternoon. All right? That's just how it is. So we're not having church tonight, okay? That I know of, not many people are, okay? This is a great time for you to be able to come and be salt and light, okay? Also, one other thing that we're doing, if you're saying you can't work, we're going to open our Family Life Center for folks to come in and take showers this afternoon, okay, from 3 to 5. So if you say, hey, I can't work, but I can smile, you can be here, okay? When we meet at 2:30, let me tell you some things that you might could bring. Bottled water, okay? A wash rag, a bar of soap, something like that. Most people, we may not have anybody come here to shower today, okay? I'm going to put it out on Facebook. I'm going to let you guys share it after church. We may have 100, okay? I'm assuming most of them will have their hygiene stuff. If not, I want to have a few things here for them. Does that make sense? Okay? Bring water. If we don't use it today, if we don't know of people that need it today, I will get it to the associational office. There's a big need for water. I know people in Albany are struggling to get water. I know people in Blakely are struggling to get water. I cannot imagine what's going on down in Mariana and Mexico Beach and all that stuff. Okay? So, after you eat lunch today, wherever you eat, go by, pick up a thing of water. You can bring it, okay? But please give me a list of who can work, what you got, and then, hey, I really could use some help here, okay? And we're going to kind of mobilize this afternoon. Brother Danny and I will be meeting right after lunch. We'll get us kind of organized. I want everybody else that can to be back here at the Family Life Center gym at 2:30. All right? So your invitation today is to be salt and light. Your invitation today is to be the hands and feet of Jesus and show people that Mount Gilead loves them, that God loves them in a very, very practical way. All right? Now, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. All right? Let me encourage you to do this during this hymn of invitation. Come and pray for our community. Pray for people that are hurting, that are struggling. Up until yesterday, I was speaking with someone that teaches at Rehoboth. Her 90-year-old grandparents were trapped in Youngstown, Florida. They just got out yesterday. Okay? There are people that are hurting. So let's pray for them this morning. You can do that in your seat. You can come and we're going to make this an altar. You can pray for them here if you like. But pray that God would use us to be salt and light and not to be stuck in our own cocoon of comfort, but that we could be salt and light. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and I do pray that you would use these upcoming days and weeks, that you would give us moments to be your hands and feet, that you would give us moments to be salt and light in a world that is decaying. Let us be salt. In a world that is dark, God, let us be light. And may we have an eternal impact in the lives of people that we minister to. In Jesus' name, amen.